Robert, how strange it is. I mean, here we are in 1969, we land on the moon, and now it seems like we're in a new race just to go back to the moon with countries that have never been there before. Are we going to be able to beat them again?
Only if we get back the kind of spirit we had in the 1960s. I mean, that was a space program with guts. That was a space program that was willing to accept the risks to get its job done. Right now, I mean, you know, look, you know, here we are. We're paying $5 billion a year for the shuttle program. We're not even flying them. And we've got the Hubble Space Telescope up there that needs a mission to it no later than the end of next year if it's going to be saved. It's the greatest astronomical observatory in history. And NASA is sitting around figuring, well, dare we risk it? Even though the shuttle's actual safety record is 98%. That is to say, there's a 50-to-1 chance, based on past performance, that a shuttle mission will succeed. Okay, they're wondering whether they should do it or not. That's like, I mean, the Hubble Space Telescope, okay, here it is. It costs $4 billion, the same cost as an aircraft carrier. Could you imagine a captain of an aircraft carrier that, was punctured and developed a leak, and he could send 7 volunteers below to patch it up, and the odds in their favor are 50-to-1, but he decides instead to abandon ship?
Good point.
in no other part of the world would anyone be afraid to take a risk of that nature for something that important, but these guys, they're fiddling around, and unless they recapture the kind of pioneer spirit they had in the 60s, you know, they're never going back to the moon.
No, unfortunately not. That's true. But does it seem that we're getting the support in government to get this done? What about the Bush Space Initiative?
Well, I give the Bush Space Initiative mixed reviews. Okay, there's good parts to it and bad parts. First of all, the good part. Number one, Bush declared that the space program did have to have a goal. His previous administrator, Sean O'Keefe, was famous for saying NASA should not have a goal.
Oh, he was a disaster.
Yeah. Now, you put a guy in there who's pretty good, Mike Griffin, who is really committed to human space exploration and sending humans to the moon and Mars, but he has to fight a whole culture within NASA to get them to change back to their Apollo courageous way of operating, and so far he's got a ways to go. Okay, so there's that. Now, secondly, Bush said we need to have a goal, and the goal should be human exploration beyond low Earth orbit, humans to the moon, humans to Mars. This is what we ought to be doing. We're not just going into space in order to, you know, experience space sickness. We're trying to go across space to explore the worlds on the other side. Okay, that's right. Okay, problem is that as per his advice by O'Keefe, who was still his administrator when this policy was formulated, the basic policy was we'll do business as usual for 5 years, doing shuttle and station, before we make the shift of shifting the serious money over to the Moon and Mars program, which means that for the rest of the time that Bush is in office, the rest of the time that Mike Griffin is NASA administrator, we're just doing shuttle and station. So really, it's almost like them saying, we think this should be the policy and the next administration can start it. But the next administration might have different ideas. So unless they get this thing off the ground while they're still around, the whole thing is in doubt.
Well, is it going to be more successful going to the Mars then than back to the moon?
Okay, well now, that's a different question, okay, as to whether the moon or Mars should be the priority. And I'll talk about that straight away.
And I bet I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, I'm going to say Mars.
That's right.
Okay. Now, that's not to say that you can't go to the moon, too, as a kind of an intermediate step. You could develop a set of flight hardware that's designed to go to Mars, a subset of which can get you to the moon, and so you basically do your flight test of part of the hardware by going to the moon, and you can keep going to the moon with it, too, to the extent you want to go to the moon. But you don't make the moon the centerpiece of the program, okay? You see, this is a real problem that we had with space station. Is back in the 1980s, somebody sold Ronald Reagan on the idea that the centerpiece of the American space program should be a space station.
Mm-hmm. And he loved the idea.
Yeah, and he loved the idea. But the problem is that a space station, while it has a certain amount of utility, it doesn't have enough to deserve to be the star of the show. It's like if you had a program of worldwide ocean exploration, let's say you were like somebody like Henry the Navigator, who started the European, you know, ocean exploration, the Age of Discovery.
Right.
You might very well set up a training ship that you keep in the harbor and you send people out on in order for them to get used to what it's like to being on a ship and living on a ship, even though that ship doesn't go anywhere. But that wouldn't be the center of your program. That would just be a training vessel that you have as sort of part of the program. Okay? And you might also have some voyages where you take people out and you just go a few hundred miles down the coast of Africa and sail them back so they get a chance of seeing what it's like to be at sea and what it's like to land in a foreign land. And that'd be like going to the moon. Okay? In other words, sure, take them out for a spin. Let's, you know, give them some experience, let them see what it's like. But the goal itself has to be really worthwhile. It can't just be about experiencing what it's like to be on a ship. It can't be just like measuring how long it takes people to get seasick or scurvy. It's got to be actually crossing the ocean to explore new continents on the other side. And the new continent on the other side is Mars, okay? I mean, look, first of all, if you're talking about human spaceflight, you're talking about people risking their lives and spending a huge amount of money, and the goal has got to be worthy of the risk, okay? For someone to say, well, we're going to the moon because we want to date the craters so that we, you know, can get some papers published in a scientific journal, that's not worth $30 billion, and it's not worth risking people's lives for.
I mean, I agree.
Okay, now on the other hand, if we're talking about going to Mars, and first of all, finding out if there ever was life on Mars, if there's life there now, if life on Mars is the same kind of life as we have on Earth, that's really worth finding out. That's worth risking your life to find out. But beyond that, the thing that's really worth risking life and limb for is expanding human civilization into space, that is actually settling another world. That is really worth putting it on the line for, to open up a new world to humanity. And Mars is the planet that has the resources needed to support settlement. Unlike the moon, Mars has very large supplies of water. Okay, there's places on Mars, large regions of Mars, that are the soil is 60% water by weight.
See, you were talking about this way before we even had probes there that confirmed this.
That's true, although I was not the only one,
by any means.
But it was pretty clear that Mars had been wet. We could see the water erosion features on the surface, and now we've actually found the water, and we've also found salt deposits on the shores of what were once oceans. The rovers have actually found this stuff. They quite literally found the beach. So there's water, there's carbon. Mars has got a carbon dioxide atmosphere. You know, we're carbon-based life forms. All of our food contains carbon. Fabrics, plastics, fuels, it's all got carbon in it. There's almost no carbon on the moon.